Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're rejoined by someone who's been on the Paracast a time or two before, and that's the one, the only Mac Maloney, who writes about strange and unknown, but also writes fiction, which is an interesting situation, but a lot of other people in the UFO field have done that. And our co-host this week is Kurt Collins. Tim Swartz is somewhere out there. No, he's actually, I think, in Detroit or something. He'll tell us about it next week, what that's about. Now, as we do this show, we're recording it on a Wednesday afternoon, right after or shortly after NASA had a conference with its UAP presentation. And I just saw the CNN report on it. And I assume, based on what they said, I got most of it. Kurt, did you listen or see it?
Yes, I did. And there was also, afterwards, there was a segment with the questions from reporters. And some of the questions were really good. Not all the answers were. But, so there was not a lot of encouraging things for the people that are looking for the answer of aliens, I have to say.
That's the game they've been playing all along here. It goes back to the 1940s and 1950s. There's no evidence that ET is amongst us, no evidence that UAPs, UFOs, flying saucers, whatever you wish to call them, are extraterrestrial. Same story all the time.
Yeah, of course, we know, even most UFO proponents will admit that the data shows that 90% of the reports, crumble. There's nothing to it. Then there's, you get this 10% or so that's mysterious, unexplained. Sometimes there's not enough data. And what they're saying now tends to support that. We've got better instrumentation, got military cameras. The few films that they've shown, it's more of the same, indistinct little blobs and, they're saying that it's distant aircraft, it's resolution problems. So they've got to weed through a lot of stuff if they're going to find anything solid. It sounded like those several of them sounded like they had a genuinely open mind. So, I'm not slamming the effort. I do kind of wonder why two different government branches or more are at it, though.
As we might think, maybe they're just getting the money appropriated. But the other thing I noticed here with regard to this week's conference, they show a film of a UFO, which is three tiny dots. And they say, well, of course, that's just three aircraft. So why show the darn thing? You see, that's the problem with most UFO films. They're tiny objects. You never know what they are, and there's really no evidence pointing one way or the other. They go also, they had a chart, kind of a working chart. They're showing the kinds of UFOs there are and some other characteristics, but they don't represent a fraction of the characteristics of what UFOs are seen to be. I didn't see anything there about triangles.
That's true. And, of course, now we have to remember they're processing things almost exclusively through what's been received by military pilots and, the triangle. If that's reported, it's not at the top of the list. It's real big on civilians, especially in the 90s. So they're not really focusing on the historical cases. So a lot of that's going to be left out. And they say the majority is spherical-shaped things, which especially a light at a distance is going to look spherical, and, a balloon and everything else. There are lots of those. But as far as showing these films at the duds, I think what they're trying to do is demonstrate their investigative process. They're attempting to be transparent. I tend to believe them. I don't think they're finding much.
Well, we don't expect them to find an awful lot. Mac, what's your take on this?
Well, I think what they are doing is pretty much what Project Blue Book did back in the 50s and 60s is basically make believe that they're putting on some kind of really, big time research project. And all they're really doing is cherry picking incidents that they can explain. I mean, that's how Project Blue Book, you know, toddled along for almost 20 years, more than that. But I think there's a possibility that there was some money in this for NASA. I mean, here we are in 2023, and now they're deciding to look into UFOs, something that's been around since, you know, certainly the late 40s. So it could be a money grab by them, you know. I mean, who knows? But as you said, you know, at the end of the day, the conclusion is, we can't find any evidence and so on and so forth.
Also, I don't think it's even getting that much publicity. I know the recent conference in Congress had very few attendees.
This could be part of their plan, you know. I mean, I'm not a real conspiracy guy, but, you know, part of the plan might be to, you know, when they had the big splash there a couple of years ago, and now maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you know, explaining that the Tic Tac videos were, in fact, unidentified. That was a big splash, and a lot of, you know, Congress, you know, put together committees and gave them money, and they had a report back, and they promised a report back, and you know, they didn't, you know, and they just made it duller and boring, and they changed the name of the office 3 times, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's just like a flim-flam show, you know, just put up a lot of noise, and after a while, people get bored, and they go away.
Well, as you say, repeating it over and over again, and as this comes, as it comes, we have all this political byplay in the U.S. that's getting the headline attention about whether we will default on the national debt and all that stuff. But the key, of course, being that there's always going to be something else to report about. So even if there were some revelations of UFOs they could not identify, it would be buried in the mix, as they say, in the music business, and eventually it would disappear. So this is what's happening. They'll just present UFO conferences and put us to sleep.
Here's the thing. I would say I'm just going to agree to disagree with you on one point, okay? Back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, until recently, that would be true. It would just, something would come up, it would be buried, no one would ever see it. But these days, there are people out there looking for, you know, scoops all the time, and there are people out there leaking stuff all the time. You can't keep a secret anywhere. And if someone went through, you know, the documentation of these, you know, boring congressional hearings and finds out, hey, you know, they found something in the New Mexico desert they can't identify, believe me, that would be on, that'd be on CNN and every other news network and within the hour.
Yeah. So, well, you know, one thing is, so you've got your show deals, it's Mac Maloney's Military X-Files. So I'm assuming you get a lot of military listeners. And, you know, are you hearing military personnel's experiences, or, well, first of all, their opinion on this investigation, and then, you know, maybe we can go into some of their experiences.
Mm-hmm. We actually have military people on as co-hosts. Two of the guys, one of them, a guy named Agent X, worked for Army Counterintelligence for 2 years in Berlin as a lieutenant colonel undercover. Another one of the guys, so a lot of secret missions in Iraq for a military contractor during the Iraq War. And they also have connections too. And so the stories, most of the stories that we hear from, you know, let's say the officer corps or whatever, we just ask them about their experiences, especially if they're pilots. Because we always say, you know, pilots are the best people to identify a UFO, because when you're flying up there, you see everything. You know, you see the moon, you see Venus, you see this, you see that. When you see something that you don't know what it is, that's a UFO. And so we talk to guys, people like that, airline pilots, but also people just, we encourage people just who were in the service, may have seen a UFO, and may have been told by higher authority not to talk about it.
We've got more with Mac Maloney. And we've got, of course, the one, the only Kirk Collins as our guest co-host. and we'll have more coming. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Mac Maloney is here. And he, by the way, has that radio show we mentioned, Mac Maloney's Military X-Files. Don't you think, Mac, then, when military people report a UFO or any strange thing, we really, really have to give them pretty high credibility compared to you or I or someone?
Right. Yes, especially, you know, if they're pilots or something, you know, along those lines. And another thing, too, along those lines we do in the show is we've been encouraging this for a while. I don't know how long something like this would take or whether it's even possible. But what we would like to do is have the Pentagon or somebody declare amnesty for any person in the service who saw a UFO and was told by higher authority you're going to lose your pension if you say anything. If you gave blanket amnesty to all these people, you would have a tidal wave of new information about UFOs, UFO sightings, and so on and so forth. And that's how you solve the UFO problem. You solve it scientifically. And the way you solve it scientifically is you get as much data as possible, and then you dive into it, and you try to figure out what it is. This would be a whole huge new library of incidents that these people encountered. I think it should be done. Why not? You know, they shouldn't have been threatened with losing their pension in the first place, because that's illegal. So maybe someday that will happen, and I think that would be cool if it did.
Have the people that you've talked to told personal stories of being silenced like that? You know, how widespread do you think it might be?
To tell you the truth, I don't think it's widespread at all. I think it's happened. I know a story that happened to a member of my family who was in the Air Force during the Vietnam War, but this incident took place in Charleston, South Carolina, at an Air Force base down there. They were working on an F-4 Phantom late at night because it was cooler that way. He was a tech sergeant in charge of a ground crew, and he said this thing just came right down, right on top of them, and he says it was a flying saucer. And he says, now I know why they call them flying saucers. It came right down on top of them, very luminous. They were so kind of shaken, they hid underneath the plane, and finally this thing flew away. So he told me later that he made the mistake of, you know, telling higher authority, and what they did was they separated them. There were four of them, and they separated them, put them in four different rooms for 3 days. You know, no one came in and beat them up or gave them drugs or probed them or anything. They just came in and asked them the same questions over and over and over until my friend finally said, you know, we woke up and we realized, you know, they just are going to keep doing this until we finally say, you know, we didn't really see anything. So in the end, what they did was they signed these documents that said that they saw a reentry vehicle from Cape Canaveral, which is, you know, still pretty far away from Charleston, South Carolina. But they just wanted to get out of it. They just wanted to get out of it. And I think that's a circumstance that a lot of service people have found themselves in. And they just say, hey, who wouldn't? Even after 3 or 4 days, anything, you know, you'll do anything just to get out of there. So that's one tactic we know they use. But, you know, there's got to be other stories out there. There's got to be hundreds of other stories out there.
Well, so the, I'd ask earlier, have you gotten feedback from your co-hosts or listeners about the military's perspective on the government's current investigation? You know, do they think it's legitimate? What's their opinion?
Good question. They think it's legitimate, but I mean, it's legitimate in that they set these things up. But, you know, what they are doing, they know, you know, better than all of us. You know, if you're deep in the military and if you spent a lot of time in the military, you know, you come to know that the military does has a certain way of doing things. And I think, you know, flustering people, throwing out disinformation, making stuff boring, you know, misdirection and stuff like that. You know, that's what they do sometimes. And that seems to be the case here. And I think that they would agree with me on that. I can tell you an interesting story, though, if you give me 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So one of the guys on the show, as I said, he was in Army counterintelligence. And then when he left, he went to go work for a subcontractor for the FBI and the CIA. And what he did once a year is he would go down to Washington, where the government would, or the Pentagon would hold a workshop, and there would be representatives there from the State Department and of course the military and NASA and all of the Homeland Security and so on, and they would be given a problem, and then they would break out into their groups. and come back with solutions to this problem. So he said, for instance, one year he went, and I don't want to give anyone ideas, but you know, terrorists took over a cruise liner. So what do you do? Well, the military is going to have the helicopters, and the Homeland Security is going to have to do this. The State Department is going to have to notify our allies, so on and so forth. And this is how these things go. So the last one he went to before he retired was, the problem was a UFO has crashed in the desert. That was it. What do you do?
And, before you go on, now, is this based on an actual happening or is this theoretical? Okay.
This is quote unquote theoretical. Okay.
All right.
Because everything they dealt with is theoretical, and so was this. But he says he looked around the room and everyone's jaws were open because this was not like them to do this, okay? And he says before, not that he went to all these things every year, but people he knew went to them before, and sometimes they predicted events, you know, they kind of predicted what was going to happen, and all these people would be quote unquote ready for something to happen. But for this, he says it was crazy. And so they went in their workshops and stuff, and at the end, they come out and everyone, a representative from each group gets up and gives this, you know, their conclusions, and they said the military guy just got up and said, you know, we would look into it to see if we can weaponize it. One scientist got up and said, we would see if we could lick it, is how he put it. Yeah. We'd lick it. You know, is it real? That type of thing. You know, the State Department would notify, you know, the five vanilla countries and, like that, you know, but he says it was just such an odd, of all the scenarios you're going to come up with, why would they do that? You know, it kind of freaked them out a little bit.
Wow, that's fascinating. You know, and do you happen to know about what year that would have been?
Let's see.
Oh, just a range.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say probably 2012 or so.
Oh, wow. So it sure would be interesting if there's any paperwork on that. You know, I know a couple people that are good at least asking for government documents. It would be interesting to know if any of those people were involved in these other, you know, these current programs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he says that it's one of the few things he misses, you know, about the job that he used to do. But he also told me, now, this guy was involved in a lot of, you know, real heavy stuff. He was, like I said, a chemist spy in Berlin. He was in Sarajevo. He was in Serbia and the works, okay, and he's seen many things, but he says this is the first time in all his experience that anyone ever brought up the subject of UFOs.
Let's bring it up right now and take a quick pause with Mac and Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden has signed legislation to raise the debt ceiling and avert a federal default. Biden formally signed the bill behind closed doors at the White House on Saturday, just days before the Treasury Department warned it would run out of money to pay the nation's bills. Nearly 300 people were killed and more than 1,100 were injured when two passenger trains derailed Friday in eastern India. The Prime Minister toured the crash site on Saturday and vowed to punish those responsible for the deadly incident. Public drag shows in Tennessee will not be banned by a federal judge. A U.S. district judge overturned the law that was signed in March by Governor Bill Lee. Tropical Storm Arlene was downgraded to a tropical depression on Saturday. The first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season saw its wind speeds drop to 35 miles per hour as it traveled in the Gulf of Mexico. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Mac Maloney, I interrupted you because I'm very rude. How that works. Go on, please.
Well, you know, that surprised him that, you know, that they would put together one of these workshops, which is a, you know, it's a large endeavor. You have to get, like, I think about 40 people there, bring them to some place for a weekend, put them up, feed them, you know, water them. So they don't take these things lightly. And then everyone has to go back and report to their superiors about these things. So, you know, this exercise in what do we do if a UFO crashes just surprised a lot of them. And they wondered if, you know, once again, people always think, you know, is this how they set us up? You know, are they setting us up for something that's happened or is going to happen or, you know, who knows? It leaves more questions than answers.
So, I wouldn't, you know, we mentioned Major Donald Kehoe briefly. Before he got into the UFO business, he wrote Aviation Adventure for Flying Aces and other pulp magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So, your work has been described in your Wingman novel series is modern pulp fiction. What do you think of that characterization? And, you know, what are your similarities and differences from Major Kehoe?
I love that title. I love that description because that's just what it is, you know. I've been actually writing the Wingman series since the 80s. I just completed Wingman 22. And never in a million years would I have thought back in the 80s that I'd be doing number 22. I didn't think I'd be doing number 3 or 4. If anyone is familiar with the series, it's basically a comic book written as a paperback, and like a movie too. Nothing ever slows down. A lot of jet fighters fighting each other. It's like the pilots. Their jet fighters are like hot rods, you know, to James Dean and those guys. They all have their own fighter jet, and it's all painted, you know, the way they want and stuff. And so it's like having a hot rod, except they're jet fighters.
So, I don't know about this series, okay. So obviously it's larger than life, but does your work involve any science fiction and UFO and paranormal concepts?
I forgot to answer the second part of your first question. Is Major Kehoe was the first book I ever read about UFOs was his was one of his books, and I can still remember reading it to this day. I have it. I have a copy of it, and I've written stuff about it. He was a very interesting guy. This guy is a major in the Marines, okay? And he basically turns on the Pentagon in the 50s and says, you know, listen, this something's going on here. And they ignored him. But all of his books have such in-depth researched incidents that when I wrote the UFO books that I did write, UFOs in Wartime and Beyond Area 51, I wanted to write in that style, you know, just the facts, ma'am, you know, just the facts and no noise. So anyway, he's one of my favorite writers.
One thing about Kehoe, of course, as you probably recall, he was also a fiction writer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Earl. Yeah. He did Pulp Fiction for magazines and stuff like that. Yep.
And I remember his books having that characteristic, very breezy style, lots of quotations and everything. Of course, he made up the quotations for the most part, because in those days we didn't have a cassette recorder to take it around.
Right.
I met Kehoe several times.
Oh, wow, huh? That's cool.
I interviewed him once for one of these now-departed supermarket tabloids. This is back in the 70s. And they were supposed to pay me, a few hundred dollars for the article. And this is back in the 70s when a few hundred dollars was real money. And about a week before they were supposed to issue the checks, the magazine or newspaper folded. So, of course, the money never came. Which means, of course, if I ever find the manuscript, nobody has rights to it except me.
It's yours,
I wasn't
right?
Paid for it. So I might post it on the Paracast or something. We'll see.
One of the incidents in one of his books is my favorite UFO incident of all time, and this is the Gander sighting, where he it tells about this Navy airplane that I think in 1957. It's a military version of this Constellation, which was a propeller airplane back then, and they're flying. Officers from all four military branches home for Christmas. So it was like December 20th or something. They've stopped in Iceland, and now they're going to stop in Gander, Newfoundland to fuel up again and then go down to Pax River. And that's where the end of the flight is. So they're flying over the ocean, and they have the regular air crew, but in the back, because they're flying these people home for Christmas, there's like about a dozen, or maybe not a dozen, but there's about 9 or 10 pilots or air crews. That's what they do in the military. So they're flying along, and they look down, and they see these circles below them of lights, very bright lights, gathering. And at the time, they had navigators in those planes, and the navigator thought that he had messed up and that they were actually over a city because it was that bright. But then, you know, they did checks with Gander, the air base in Gander and so on, and they determined, no, there was still about an hour and a half over the ocean before they made it to land. So they're looking at these things. And when they were right over them, the air crew asked for any pilots in the back to please come up to the cockpit and help them identify what's going on. So when that happens, now everyone, Yeshua, is looking out the windows of this airplane. One of these circles comes up, and the next thing we know, they were about a mile high, okay, or a couple miles high, 10,000 feet. This thing came up and was beside them instantaneously. And all these air crew people are seeing it, and they know this is not Venus. This isn't swamp gas. This is something crazy. And this thing just is enormous, and it just paces them for about a minute, and then, boom, it's gone. So the plane calls ahead to Gander, and they say, did you see something? And they said, we did see something, you know, kind of flying along with you, two blips on the screen. So they get to Gander, and everyone tells this story. Then they put on the plane. They fly down to Pax River. So one of the guys, the pilot of the plane itself, he's, you know, at the end of his mission, and, you know, he's just goes home. He's off duty. He gets a a knock at the door and a guy comes in and he's some scientist and he has a big binder of pictures and he says, go through that and show me which one you saw. And the guy goes through it and they're photographs. And he finally finds one. He says, that's the one exactly. That's it. And the guy says, okay, thanks. And he says, no, wait a minute. What's going on here? He says, I can't tell you. And boom, he's gone. And there's just so many elements of that story from a military point of view that makes sense, you know, that it can't be made up. It can't be stretched. Something happened. They had a lot of really great witnesses.
Wow. The whole, if we could find that book of mugshots, that would be something.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just proves they know, the military knows UFOs exist, but I'm convinced they do not know what they are. They don't know any more about them than we do. They have more evidence they exist because they have films and they have, you know, photographs, as we know, and eyewitnesses, and, you know, among military pilots and astronauts and so on. But I think they're just as baffled as we are.
That would be, I suppose, a good reason for the military not to want to say anything. They don't want to say, well, we don't know, because that's, number one, it addresses the preparedness of the military. Well, they should be aware and should be able to protect this country. And if they don't know what's going on, how can they protect us? Could be a matter of ego on the part of the leadership. How could we admit that we don't know anything? We have to know everything, don't we?
Right. See, that's why it's so strange that they came out, you know, after the Tic Tac thing happened, that the Navy actually came out and said, yes, these videos are real, and yes, we have no idea what they are. I mean, they just threw, you know, 50 years of disinformation down the drain by saying that, by avoiding all those years, by saying we don't know, and all of a sudden they said that we don't think they exist to say we don't know what they are. It's a huge leap, and I was wondering, why are they doing that?
That leap may be one of the reasons why they're trying to change things now and say, yeah, we can see what they are with further investigation. Mac, Gene, and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did.
clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So would that explain the greater emphasis now, Mac, on trying to debunk everything? Well, they don't really admit that people have seen things they can't explain. It's just, well, on further investigation, thus and so.
Well, yeah, they're already kind of like, as I said before, they're already kind of flim-flamming us with just like a lot of noise that, you know, when you add it up at the end of the day, really doesn't say anything, you know? I think they've literally changed the name of the office 3 times. And it's all these like crazy names. Like it seems like, you know, something in one of my books that, you know, the acronyms that they come up with. And you want to say, well, you're doing this, you know, what else are you doing? Nothing. You know, you're supposed to report the American people every 90 days what you have found out. And I don't think if they've done it, it's been under my radar, you know.
It really reminds me of something that I read about the Soviets and the way to, you know, if you infiltrated an enemy and you wanted to undercut them, you started doing things like every decision had to be made by a committee, mm-hmm. and so forth. And, you know, a version of that is there's a slogan that goes something like ineptitude and sabotage. Sometimes it's hard to tell them apart.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's so true. You know, how true is that?
So in your books, I know you've talked about them before on the show, but, you know, they each had a different focus. So, beyond Area 51, I'm sure it has a lot to deal with the area of military secrecy. Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us a little bit about the things, you know, if UFOs aren't at Area 51, what's hidden there and where is the good stuff?
Right. Well, you know, that's what the whole book is about, is like kind of find where the good stuff is at military base, you know, secret bases around the world that aren't Area 51. You know, when you think about it, Area 51 isn't really a very well-kept secret. Everyone in the world knows about it, you know. But there are certainly other places out there in the United States and around the world that are less well-known, let's say. And that's what the book is about, is just you know, chapters on all these, like, strange little places. There's a place up near Reno, Nevada, called Tonopah. And it's an air base, World War II air base, out in the middle of, like, nowhere. And everyone who works there, I don't think you can leave the base unless you have, you know, absolute permission. And what they do there is they test secret weapons. That's where the stealth fighter flew for 10 years without anyone knowing about it. They flew it at night, and they went through all these kind of different countermeasures. But now people say you go over that place, and what they do is they have a lot of Soviet equipment out on the runways. It's almost like they give them the finger to the Soviets, to the Russian satellites, you know. But the strange thing about that place is, and I think we deal with maybe about 25 different bases and places around the world, The same thing about Tonopah is it has no UFO history. Every other base that we study, a place we study, has some kind of UFO history except Tonopah. And in a way, it's our most secret base. And it has no UFOs around it, which I think is very strange.
It is, yeah, because, you know, the legend is that the military bases, and especially the ones that involve nuclear material, are magnets for UFOs.
Absolutely, so. Yep. All our Minuteman bases, ICBM bases out in the Midwest, in the West, have long histories of UFOs showing up at different times. The Navy's Area 51 is in the Bermuda Triangle, believe it or not. As crazy as that sounds, the Navy's Area 51 is a place called AUTEC. I think it's Atlantic Undersea Technology something. And it's on one of the Bahamian Islands right in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. And what they do there is there's a trench between Florida and the Bahamas that goes down very deep, and so when you're testing out new stuff on nuclear submarines, you can just do it there. And there's all kinds of equipment on land, and these monstrous wires that go down into this trench, so on and so forth. And I'm sure that's what they use it for. However, this place has so many sonar applications and also radar applications that these people in the Bahamas at AUTEC can hear the propellers of a Russian Bear bomber going over Norway. Think about that for a second, okay? They can hear propellers over Norway, and they're in the Bahamas. That's how sensitive their stuff is. Now, take that idea with the fact that down in their area, you could write volumes and volumes of UFO instances down right in that area, Florida, Bahamas, and so on. Lots of people see USOs, you know, UFOs under the water, lots of UFO activity, lots of witnesses, yet the people at AUTEC said, you know, we never see anything. We never see any of this stuff. So you have to ask your question, one, either they're lying, because these are the people who can hear a propeller off the coast of Norway, or they're hearing this stuff and either their equipment doesn't work or they're lying. I got to believe they're lying. And it just so happens that they are in a place where there's a lot of UFO activity. Homestead Air Force Base down in Florida, which is no longer there. Lots of UFO activity there. This place is in Scotland and in England and in Russia that, you know, at sometimes a year or sometimes, you know, they're just kind of like, not routine, but kind of routine that they show up. So anyway, but always above these secret bases, and the only place that we could not find any kind of UFO history is above Tonopah Air Base, and as I said before, I think that might be the most secret base of all.
So, well, did you draw any conclusions? Because, you know, the one that I would jump to is that it's censored or cleansed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The one it talked about.
Well, that's the funny thing. That's what I thought, too. I think, well, of course they're not going to say anything about UFOs being over this place. But the strange thing is that Tonopah, which is near Reno, so it's like halfway, you know, kind of in the middle of Nevada, north of Area 51, north of Vegas, that it's the, if you're a amateur astronomer, that's your pilgrimage. You go to Tonopah because it's supposed to have the clearest skies in the whole United States. So, here they are calling now. So the thing is that, you know, wouldn't some of those astronomers see UFOs over Tonopah? But all they do is see clear skies, and they have for, like, you know, decades. So I don't know. I wish I had the answer to it, but I don't. It's just like a weird thing.
Yeah. And what do you think about all these rumors that from the very beginning people suggested UFOs? Okay, well, that's a secret military weapon. And then later on we have things like the Aurora and Black Triangles. So, you know, in any subject, there's the reality and then there's the myth that's built around it. So where do you think there might be a nugget of reality in there?
Well, I think, you know, like what we try to do on our show is we try to, you know, just put, you know, try to go way through all the BS and just kind of get to, you know, what really happened, that type of thing. And so let's take black triangles for a moment. We talk about them a lot on our show. And we do know that back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they still might have this technology, but back then, somebody, the CIA, the Air Force, had this technology where they had these blimps, and they were black triangle blimps, and they had photo sensors on the bottom, on the top of the blimp, which would recreate on the bottom of the blimp an exact copy of what was happening above. So in other words, if one of these blimps is flying over your house on a very starry night, you don't see it. You see like this kind of movie, continuous movie of the stars above it as this thing kind of goes by. Do you know what I mean? Do you see how it makes itself invisible?
Yeah.
So we know that they had those. And I think that people that see black triangles now, I think that they are those aircraft, but powered. I think that they're not blimps just floating around. I think they're somehow powered blimps, because when people see them, you know, they say they change, they can change speeds differently. They fly differently than an airplane. Sometimes they're flying, they're barely moving at all, but sometimes they're moving, you know, at a good pace. So that's what I think the black triangles are. And I also think they have a smaller version of them.
And, you know, there's no, you don't have to look very far at the drone program to come up with triangle shapes. It seems to be a popular one.
Yep, for sure. You know, and probably a lot of things that people see don't have any pilots in them, you know, not anymore. You know, they're probably robot driven or just unmanned.
Well, you can almost say the same thing for possible alien visitors. They wouldn't actually have living beings come, just the robotic ones. We've got more to come with Mac, Gene, and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.